Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Cody Goff.
And I'm Ashley Hamer.
This is a very special bonus episode of Curiosity Daily with renowned science communicator Hank Green. He created the YouTube channels Crash Course and SciShow, and he co-stars in the super popular Vlogbrothers YouTube channel with his brother and fellow author, John Green. Hank just published his first book titled An Absolutely Remarkable Thing. Ashley and I had the chance to talk to him about it, and we thought we'd share it with you, because Hank is a smart dude, and he's got some really cool insights into what it's like to write a book. If you like it and you want to hear more, then you can find the full interview on our Patreon page at patreon.com/curiosity.com, all spelled out, for free. Enjoy. What's your elevator pitch for the book? How do you describe it to somebody who's like, All right, what's this book about?
I think it's about a lot of different things. So I have a hard time with that. But like, it's about a young woman who finds a robot statue and names it Carl, makes a video with it, and then that video goes viral in part because she's charming, but in larger part because that one statue turned out to be one of 63 others that just appeared overnight all across the world and no one can explain them, and April gets a little taste of fame and then works very hard, but also is sort of like, in part due to her own ambition and hard work and in part due to the peculiarity of the mystery that she is in, gets brought deeper into this and becomes a bit of a pundit, a bit of a celebrity, and a bit of a thought leader all at once as a 23-year-old who is not really well prepared for the mental exercise of that.
I think that sums it up pretty well as well.
Okay. It wasn't really an elevator. Hopefully that was a pretty long elevator ride. We're going to like 4, maybe 16, 22 up there. pretty long pitch.
Yeah, that's all right. I used to take an express elevator up to 41 at one of my last jobs. So I understand it can take a while. It's funny. I got the book. I started reading. I came into work and I turned to Ashley and I was like, it's written in first person from the perspective of a female. Is that allowed?
Right.
And here's, and she, you know, she kind of.
I shared all of the memes that are online of male writers writing women. And,
oh, God.
You know, and apparently you did. Yeah, it looks like you did a really great job writing as a woman.
I mean, it's terrifying. And I did have a lot of help on the sort of, like, I had a lot of people who read the book with an eye specifically toward, like, me paying them to say, like, what did I do wrong, kinds of things. But I also paid a lot of attention to those criticisms that you've seen on the internet. And
and
I don't think that I would have made some of those mistakes. Some of the things that you see are just really funny. Like, my breasts felt so cozy in my brassiere, and it's just like, oh, that sounds like how people feel about their bodies. At one point in the story, April closes her boob in a door, and that was my favorite favorite, like, me going, like, I like went on Twitter and I searched for closed boob in door to see if this was a thing that had ever happened to a woman, and indeed it has. So I felt like getting comfortable both with, like, you know, like, trying to understand how you are viewed and how society and culture looks at a female body is different from how it looks at a male body. So that was something that I felt like I needed to try to understand pretty deeply. And then also, like, more than like character attributes, which I feel like can be pretty malleable. And as we study the science of sex and gender, we see that there are tendencies, but no absolutes in those things. So that I feel like is easier to get right than how you are treated societally. But also, like, that choice didn't feel like a choice to me. It felt like, you know, I was telling April's story from the very beginning. And like oftentimes I would write something and be like, that doesn't seem like something April would do, but like have no idea what that meant or where that came from.
Interesting. So what motivated that decision in the first place for you to sit down? I mean, was that from day one you sat down, you're like, I'm going to write this from the perspective of first person female? Like, how did the process start for you?
So like, the honest answer is really dumb. I wanted to write a middle grade story about a pet detective named April May. And then I was like, no, I don't want to write that book. And instead, I want to write a book about this thing that I came up with, this very strange scene that involves that involves grape jelly. And if you've read the book, you will know what that is. And if not, it doesn't sound like a spoiler. And I had that, and I want to like write that book, but maybe I could take this character that I created to be a pet detective for a middle grade novel. This is the first time I've admitted to this. Then that will be like, I can combine those two things and it will be a way to get to this weird scene that I imagined with jelly. And that was kind of it. And it didn't, in character creation of April specifically, I didn't feel like I was creating her. I felt like I was finding her and like testing out things and being like, that doesn't seem right. And I know that that is a process of creation, but it didn't feel like it. And I do not understand it. I don't know how it happened. Like, so I have a hard time talking about it.
It's written in such a natural, internet-y, modern way, right? Like every little reference you have, all the ways of talking, it's super contemporary. And we're in a world where everyone seems to be reading more, but it's like micro-reading, right? Like Twitters and clips and short articles and Facebook posts. And there's a different linguistic structure almost. I feel like you do spend a lot of time on the internet, I would imagine. I wonder if you made that harder to sit down and write a book. Did you have any particular exercises or anything to kind of break out of that Twitter mode and switch into like I'm writing a book style where I have to actually finish an entire paragraph and then finish an entire page?
Well, first, I want to say thank you for saying that. That was something that like when I first started the voice of the book and first started to understand it, I was like, this is different because it is written from the perspective of a person who is a citizen of the internet. And my editors and my publisher was very amenable to that. And I want to like be thankful to them for it. Like, that is a little weird. And there are times that like it maybe gets in the way of the story a little bit even, but like I think that it's necessary for it to establish the voice and the feel. And I was thinking like that would be the thing that would make the book stand out. And it has not been something that anyone has mentioned yet. So I'm glad someone noticed because I thought it was a big deal. But all, like in addition to writing tweets, probably the majority of the words that I have written in the last 10 years have been video scripts. And they tend to be about 600 to 800 words. And they are short essays. And so that is a structure where there are paragraphs and there is a narrative structure. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that is, of course, thus the style of writing that I'm most comfortable with. And when I found that I could sort of do that in a book form, in a way, not entirely, because of course there's also dialogue and there's scenes and there's action and stuff. But like that allowed me a path to understanding how writing could be possible. Because when I had tried to write in more traditional ways, I'd been like, I don't understand. This is very hard. And so it was sort of like me leaning on a skill that I already had.
Is there a main takeaway you want people to get out of the book? Or is there like a most proud moment you have from this book that you really hope that people notice?
I mean, that would be a spoiler, I think. But like, like friendship, like the moments when I was like, oh, these people really love each other. And like, you can tell that. And those were big ones for me. And then the other thing that I hope I hope that people have a lot of fun. And I hope that people consider their relationship and their position as like a member of sort of a, like as like a citizen of this whatever we are, in the same way that like I'm a citizen of a town and a state and a country, I'm also sort of a citizen of these internet platforms.
Well, thanks a lot for spending a few minutes with us, Hank. It was an awesome book and like good on you, and we're gonna be following you very closely. We love all that you're up to.
Great, thank you very much.
on the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.